What's going on, everyone, and good morning. Today is Monday, November 11th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And man, it's what, the fifth Monday in a row where I get to start this pod? I guess the fourth, because people didn't feel great after the Cleveland game. But the fourth Monday in a row where I get to start this pod and say, I hope you're all enjoying your morning. As my good friend James would say, life is always a little sweeter for Eagles fans when you beat the Dallas Cowboys. So hopefully you all have a smile on your face. It certainly feels like something special is happening with this team. And of course, I'm talking about their 34-6 shellacking of the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas on Sunday, a place they have not won since 2017. And we have a lot to get into today. Obviously, we already did the post-game pod, me and James. Make sure you check that out. Look, if you're a James fan, and look, who is not a James fan? A James post-victory, a post-game pod, victory pod, beating Dallas Cowboys. That's one happy James, let me tell you. So definitely go check that out. Got a chance to talk about Jalen, the win, where this team's at, all those things. But I want to get into two things more specifically today after being in the locker room and talking to the players. I really want to talk about the defense more than we did on that post-game pod. So I'm going to get into the defense today and then also some audio from Sirianni and Jalen talking about their performances, how Jalen played, the turnovers, those type of things. But first, as we always do, let's start with what to keep an eye out for today. On the schedule, Nick Sirianni scheduled to talk to reporters. The timing on that isn't clear. It's obviously a bit of a weird week with them playing on Thursday. So it's going to be, you know, different schedule than normal. Wednesday will probably be their Tuesday. Tomorrow's kind of their Thursday. Like, we'll get into all that. But Sirianni at one point will speak to the media day, so make sure you keep an eye out for all of his good quotes and all that good stuff from on my Twitter. And then also, I'm sure we'll play that on WIP when it airs. So that's what I'll keep an eye out for today. Nick Sirianni speaking to the media. The injury report, good news. The Eagles really don't have a lot of concern with injuries coming out of this game. Obviously, Darius Slay was in and out of the game. Saw him in the locker room afterwards. Looked like he's feeling fine. We'll see about Thursday. My guess is he will play on Thursday and be active, but that would be the one to keep an eye out for. And then Jordan Mailata, I believe, eligible to come off of IR and play on Thursday against Washington, which is really what all eyes turn to now. This game, this will probably be the last pod this week focusing on the Cowboys game, because it's time to turn the page to what is really going to be an exciting, awesome night on Thursday at the Link. Primetime, division. I mean, it's been a long time since Eagles have had a game this exciting in the division, and especially with two young quarterbacks, Jaden Daniels and Jalen Hurts. It's going to be an awesome game. But we'll see if Jordan Mailata plays. It's going to be the short week, like I said. He will really only have one full day of practice. I would be surprised if he plays. My guess is it's going to be Fred Johnson. You have him wait that little bit, and then you get him back fully with the full week of practice the following week when they go to LA to play the Rams. So let's get into it. We talked about it on the post-game pod, but I think the defense just deserves so much credit for what we saw on Sunday against Dallas. And in some ways, it reminds me of a 2022 game, because you could definitely look at it and go, well, that wasn't a great offense they were going against. And it wasn't. They really only had CeeDee Lamb. The offensive line's not that good. Obviously Cooper Rush is a quarterback. They had Trey Lance in there for a little bit. It's a bad team. But much like 2022, they dominated that bad team. I mean, they literally had almost as many turnovers as points allowed. They came away with five turnovers and scored 6 points. Think about that for a second. Five turnovers, 6 points. And that really isn't even the true story of how much they dominated, because as great as the turnovers were, and they certainly came at big moments and helped the team, the Eagles kind of put the Cowboys away, there are so many stats from this game that you can look at and go, it was a truly, truly dominating performance from the defense. So 146 net yards allowed. That's outstanding. The Cowboys were 3 of 14 on third down. Another outstanding stat there. And then I think what was most impressive, as much as this was a blowout game, there were moments where this could have been close. The fumble that Jalen has, where the Cowboys get at the 6 yard line, the interception that he throws in the end zone when the game's still in question. But here's what I think is important after that. Off of those two turnovers, the Cowboys scored 3 points, and they got one of those turnovers at the 6 yard line. So you almost don't even count that as like points allowed. Like, that was a given once they got the ball. So for two turnovers by the Cowboys to turn into 3 points, that truly is outstanding defense by the Eagles. And Vic Fangio doesn't speak after the game, but Nick Sirianni does. And here's what Nick had to say about the defensive performance.
All right, you got it by yourself. Hit it. Come on, Howard. What you got?
How important was it for the defense to keep you in the game? That kind of happened
in the Brazil game too against the Packers. They just kind of helped us stay in it when it wasn't going great. I think the defense has done a really nice job. They played a great game today. Forcing that turnover, I think after our turnover, was huge to keep it at 7-3. But they played. I just thought that they played. They started fast. They played great throughout the entire game. We tackle. I love when we tackle well. I mean, we've tackled really well. Just those guys on that football team on the Cowboys have some guys that can really do some damage with the ball in their hands. CeeDee Lamb, Ferguson, obviously Zeke and 23. They got a lot of guys that can and Turpin. They got a lot of guys that can. You got to be alert for. That was a keys all week of fundamentally sound. So we really tackled well. And we really did a good job taking the football away and having the football on our mind. Good start by them, good performance by them all the way through.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen also talked about it later, and he talked about complimentary football, and that truly was what it was. I mean, to the fact that the offense makes a mistake, the defense picks them up. The offense gets going, the defense keeps Dallas at bay so they can build a lead and they can all rest in the fourth quarter. Got a chance to talk to Jalen Carter after the game as well, and I do think it was noteworthy. Like, Jalen kind of talked about how he wanted to set the tone, and he wanted to I'm paraphrasing here, and it's not exactly what he said, but essentially it was like he wanted to be a leader out there on the field. You saw early in the game, he was kind of talking trash to CeeDee Lamb. And I think you could tell, like, he was all over the field on Sunday against Dallas. He batted down some passes. He made a big stop on third down. I mean, truly just an outstanding game from Jalen Carter. So Jalen Carter was asked about not only his performance, but the defense's performance after the game and the turnovers. And I thought he said something interesting here that I think is a really good overarching point with the defense. So here's Jalen Carter talking about why he thinks they get so many turnovers.
Turnovers today. You guys have been forcing a lot more turnovers the past few weeks. What do you think has gone into that?
I think we just our focus. As soon as we start the meeting, the focus is turnover, punching the ball out. We go around, we see around the league turnovers, and we just feeding off that. We see what they doing and just taking that in and translating it into the game.
Is that something the coaching staff emphasizes to you guys? You mentioned the plays around the league. You see, just how do they emphasize it? I guess.
We just seeing on film. They pull up whatever they pull up for the weekend, whatever they show us, we take it in and do it in practice where, we punch the ball and stuff like that. Let's transition into the game.
You play a position.
Yeah, so I asked Nick Sirianni about that because I did know that the Eagles did teaching tape in terms of like routes, and I know that they do situational tape where they'll sit in a team meeting, they'll go, okay, look at this game. In this game, this team faced 4th-and-1 from the 30, so they do a lot of that. I didn't know that they did the teaching tapes of the turnovers. So every week the Eagles watch every turnover from the NFL, the players do, as Jalen said there, right? Jalen Carter. So I asked Nick why he did that and why he thought it was important to do it, and here's what Nick had to say.
Nick, Jalen Carter said that every week they watch tapes of different turnovers from around the league. Why do you do that? What do you think the benefit is of showing the players that?
Yeah, again, you're just trying to put them in positions. Like, you can only practice it so many times, right? So you put them in drills, you put them in practice. We harp on it. Anytime there's an opportunity missed at practice, that's going to be in the team meeting the next day as far as, hey, we got this vice tackle right here. You're not taking a shot at the ball, or you are taking a shot at the ball. And so it's on our mind. It's the same way we do it with the offense and how we take care of the football. And then the best thing, I think good teams learn from their mistakes and great teams learn from everybody's mistakes, right? And so, you can watch situational football throughout the week and say, hey, here's what – this team did in this scenario, and you get better from that, whether it was good or bad. And you do the same thing with fundamentals. I really look at football IQ and fundamentals very similar, right? And so that's a big process of what we go through early in the week. it's a big process what we go through late in the week, and you can always learn from it, right? There was an Ohio State Penn State play where the guy had the ball on his outside arm, and good tomahawk hit on the ball near the goal line on the quarterback of Ohio State, rolled out of bounds. Like, we're going to learn from everything we possibly can. Shoot, there was a clip that was somebody saw on Twitter or whatever, and this little kid ran from behind, took it from the guy because the guy wasn't locked in, and then we'll learn from anything we can possibly learn from. I heard St. Joe's Prep got a big win over LaSalle. But a good battle. Both teams were really good, but I'm sure we will learn something from that game. Anything we can learn from, we will. And I think that's a sign of a good team. Again, like I said, what I say to the guys a lot are good teams learn from their mistakes. Great teams learn from the mistakes, across the league. And it doesn't have to be the league. It can be college football. It can be peewee football. It can be high school football. It doesn't matter. Just always in a mindset of getting better.
So as I said, Vic Fangio doesn't speak after the game, so I can't get audio or talk to Vic about why he thought the defense played well until later in the week. So Sirianni, although obviously he is more of an offensive head coach, is the one that talks. But here's really the core message I think that stands out to me about the defense. Not taking anything away from the players. The players are absolutely playing at a high level. We'll get into that in a second with the Cooper DeJean thing. But man, this team is so much better coached than last year's team on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, you listen to Nick there. They watch every turnover from every game each week, and they're learning from that. Jalen Carter talks about how they're learning from that. And just the level of competency you see from this team is so much different than what we saw last year. Think about where this defense was at the end of last year. They couldn't top anybody. They were getting, I mean, look, they got boat raced by Tampa this year too, but they were getting boat raced by Tampa last year, giving up game-winning drives to Seattle, New York moving the ball up and down all over the field against them, Arizona moving the ball up and down the field all over. Like, look at what this team has become. Over the past five games, they're giving up an average of 13 points. An average of 13 points. And some of those points came from, actually, I think about the 7 points or the 6 points that the offense allowed against the fumble. So it's less than 13 points. In 2022, as good as that 2022 defense was, and I know it is a hot button for debate on how good they really were, but as good as that defense was, I could only find one five-game stretch where they even came close to that, and it was 14 points. I mean, this defense is playing at a level I don't think we've seen an Eagles defense play for in a really, really long time. I mean, you could argue, like, the early 2000s, and especially in, I'm going overboard, but look, it's Hyperbolic Monday. When you think about the young corners on that team in the young 2000s, right? Like, I mean, Quinion, Cooper, like the secondary, I really think this is the best an Eagles defense has looked since early 2000s. The 2022 defense was awesome, but the 2022 defense didn't have performances like they did against Joe Burrow, like this team did against Joe Burrow, right? Like, that 2022 defense, and I admitted this, like, they got beat by great quarterbacks. A lot of great defenses do. We haven't seen an Eagles defense beat a great quarterback or play at this level like this in a really long time. And that showed on Sunday. Yes, the Cowboys are not that good. No question about it, especially with that group of players. But they dominated that game. They did not leave anything open. Like, we have seen Eagles defenses that are good lose to backup quarterbacks. We've seen Eagles defenses that are good give up big plays that they shouldn't be giving up. And that didn't happen on Sunday. So I think it's just incredibly impressive what this defense is doing. And I asked Cooper DeJean about it, and I think his answer was also really telling. So here's Cooper on why he thinks the defense is playing at a high level.
I think it's just, our focus throughout the week. Guys come in, we're asking questions, we're figuring things out together. We're starting to gel as a whole unit, coming closer. But it's really our work throughout the week, I think, getting those looks in practice, and learning from mistakes that we make throughout the week so that doesn't happen on Sundays.
So Cooper's a rookie. He's not been in a lot of NFL locker rooms, but I've covered a lot of NFL locker rooms. And I think one thing that's really noteworthy to me about what the players say, and Cooper said it there, but you hear it consistently from players, is their team meetings seem very, very productive. And I think that credit goes both to Nick for fostering an environment where the defense, where they have this type of relationship with the coaches. But I think it also really goes to the players. Like, this seems like a really good group of guys, right? Like Cooper, Quinyon, Nolan Smith, N'Kobe, Jalen Carter, I think, has been a pretty good leader at times this year. Zach Bond seems like a great locker room guy. Reed Blankenship, like they, Brandon Graham, obviously. But they really seem to have a good group of players. And I think it's noteworthy that Cooper there talks about how everyone asks questions in meetings. Everyone's on the same page. Everyone wants to work together. You know, at times last year, it didn't feel like the 2023 team really felt like they were all on the same page, obviously. I mean, you know, like it. I remember Brandon Graham saying on the Brandon Graham show, essentially, that they all decided they didn't have to be friends. They just had to be coworkers. It feels like this team, I mean, this is why we named the pod, they have their swagger back. It feels like this team is really clicking on a high level. And I think the defense is kind of the best example of that right now. The offense is super talented and they're playing at a high level. But the defense is talented for sure. It's not that they don't have talent. That's not the case at all. But they're not winning because of talent, in my opinion. Like Quinyon's awesome. Cooper's awesome. Like all true. But they're winning because they're a unit. They're winning because they are a well-coached unit that works together, that is on the same page, that has gotten better throughout the season. And that's extremely, extremely important. Talent wins, but you have to have a great unit. And I think the Eagles currently on defense have a great unit. So the last piece of audio I want to play for you guys is Zach Bond. And I think that in some ways, Zach Bond is the poster for what this defense is right now. Zach Bond hasn't had an outstanding career so far. He hasn't been a starter everywhere he's gone. But he fits here. He fits in Philadelphia with this coaching staff. Here's Zach Bond talking about why he thinks he feels comfortable in Philadelphia.
Through my time in New Orleans, of course, people say I was an on-ball linebacker. But when I was in New Orleans, I was putting in the time, putting in just the same amount of work as the starters were, just to prepare for a moment like this and my opportunity. And all I had to do was take advantage and just let it fly. Yeah, I compare it a lot to the time I transferred high schools. I was kind of uncomfortable in my old high school, kind of stood out. And when I transferred, I felt like I could be myself and be me. And that's exactly how I feel with this team. Just they embraced me so much, the coaches, the players, the cafeteria staff, everyone just accepted me like a big family. And the people in the building made it really easy for me to transition here.
So the reason I say Zach Bond is kind of the poster for this Eagles defense, because if you think about it, like they have a lot of unproven guys, unproven rookies, Quinyon, Cooper, Nolan Smith, not a rookie, but unproven, Jordan Davis, unproven, N'Kobe, trying to prove himself, Zach Bond, trying to prove himself, Reed Blankenship, always trying to prove himself, Chauncey, feels he's undervalued, like Josh Sweat, you know, had a bad ending to last year. Every position, they have players that really aren't viewed around the league as outstanding players. Quinyon is probably close to being that right now. But other than that, they are a group of players that people, for the most part, didn't believe in. Cooper fell out of the first round. Zach Bond didn't get a ton of money. N'Kobe fell to the third round. Jordan Davis, viewed as a bust. Like Nolan Smith, fell to the end of the first round. And I think that's what's kind of bonding them all together. And so hearing Zach Bond say that, hearing Cooper talk about how they get along and get along well in meetings, hearing Jalen Carter talk about how they learn from the coaches, hearing the coaches, and Nick in this example, talking about how they relate to the players. The defense is one big unit right now. They're really all attached. And I just think it's been a while since the defense has been like that. And it's really, really good for this team because as good as the offense is, and we'll talk about them on the other side, as good as the offense is, this defense, like James said on the postgame pod, might be the true, true reason to believe in this team. The offense can take them to great heights. The defense can be the reason that they win those big games late, when they get a big stop against Detroit, when they get a big turnover. And I think the defense's performance in Dallas was super, super encouraging. All right. On the other side, we're going to talk about the offense a little bit. Talk about the turnovers, right? Well, like we just praised the defense for a little bit, but let's talk about the turnovers on offense because I think they were kind of the story of the day on the offensive side of the ball. But first, a word from our sponsors. Okay, so as good as the offense was on Sunday, and they were good, right? Like everyone had some big moments. AJ had some big catches. Saquon had some nice plays. The play he made where he got him down to the 1 yard line in the first quarter, I believe it was, where he caught it on third down, made two guys run into each other. Outstanding play. Goddard, touchdowns. One touchdown. Johnny Wilson, his first touchdown. Jalen Hurts had some really, really nice plays, like standing in the pocket, keeping his eyes down the field a few times. I think those are plays you're seeing with maturity with Jalen, right? I think 2021, maybe even 2022, I'm not sure he makes those plays, but 2024, Jalen makes those plays. But I think despite of how good they played, I do think in some ways the turnovers are probably the story, just because I know turnovers are really where this team can get down a slippery slope. Look, they dominated on Sunday, but for them to beat good teams, they're going to have to take care of the ball. And they've been doing an outstanding job of that. Now, I couldn't take my full victory lap because Jalen did set a new career high for in consecutive passes without an interception. Obviously, off of my training camp thing, I wanted him to break the franchise record. He's not going to do that. Unlikely. I mean, you know, if he doesn't throw an interception the rest of the season, maybe he'll break it. But regardless, he had the interception. So the interception, when you watch it like live, you're like, oh man, red zone interception, kind of right to Trayvon Diggs. Like, what are you doing? You watch a replay of it, and it's a really nice play by Trayvon Diggs. So on the play, and Jalen said he knew what they were having. So actually, let me play the Jalen audio for you first. Here's what Jalen said about the interception.
What did you see on that interception?
I had him. Knew exactly what they were going to do. Had a good eye for it. Seven just made a hell of a play. And much respect to him making a hell of a play. Tried to fit it in there. Could have got outside to Grant. Actually told Grant that was going to happen, and I didn't pull the trigger on it. So I own it, and I own the fumble as well. And it'll be an opportunity for us to grow from it. I'll learn from it as well.
So as you can tell, like, Jalen saw Grant Calcaterra there. Like, and if you watch the replay, Grant Calcaterra is open. So essentially, what happens on that play, my reading on it at least, is Diggs is kind of in between both of them. And when they get the look they want, he goes to the person that Diggs is not at. And so when Jalen is dropped back and he's looking, Diggs is looking to Calcaterra. So Jalen decides he goes to Goddard. What Diggs does an excellent job of doing is flipping and getting to Goddard in time to make the interception. So I think there's a few things to take away from this interception. One, is it a big picture concern? No, I don't think it is. This isn't like Jalen chucking it up and trying to make something happen. This isn't a complete arm strength issue. This isn't some of the interceptions we saw early in the season, right? I think this was a great player on the Cowboys making a great play. And I think it was a fine decision by Jalen. Like, yes, he got tricked by Diggs, but Diggs is a great player. So I don't think the decision is like a red flag. Why are you throwing this? I think it's a fine decision to make. The throw, you could argue with a better pass, Diggs isn't maybe able to do it. Maybe if he puts more on it, like maybe it's a better pass. It's not an interception. You could argue maybe Goddard could have done a better job like defending it. But some of the interceptions Jalen had early in the season, it's like, what are you doing? Like, how do you not see the safety there? The interception against Atlanta to end the game, the interception against Green Bay where he didn't see, I mean, it was a good play by the Packers safety whose name's escaping my mind right now, but that was a good play. Like, I think that there were decisions early in the year Jalen made that were concerning. I didn't think that this was one of those decisions. So I don't leave the interception feeling like Jalen's slipping back into bad habits. The fumble that he had, so kind of like Diggs, you can look at that and go, great play by Micah Parsons. Like, Micah Parsons is one of the best, if not the best, defensive players in the league, especially when he's fully healthy. He got to Jalen, he knocked the ball off, like, great play. But you could also look and go, Jalen needs to have two hands on the football. So Nick talked about that after the game and kind of the technical parts of it, and here's what Nick had to say.
Nick, on this fumble, you've talked in the past about keeping two hands on the ball in the pocket. On that play, he was kind of going to tuck it,
yeah,
while also trying to stiff arm Micah.
That's one that's going to always be hard to do, two hands on play. You know, when you do two hands when you're stepping up in the pocket, you know, you're moving in the pocket, and he had a couple like that. He was actually trying to get it tucked. One thing, you know, the ball's at risk, you know, catch, tuck, the ball's at risk, right? Off the mesh, the ball's at risk because you have to get to your proper mechanics, and he was trying to right here try to get to his proper mechanics. That's when we tell our defense to kind of come after the ball in those sets. So he hadn't got to his proper mechanics yet, you know, and that's, you know, he has to be a passer and ready to throw. Then he goes to tuck it. I like that he went to tuck it. He's got to get his elbow locked a little bit quicker. That's tough to do in the heat of it. And then was it Micah who got it? Man, he's a stud. I can't say enough good things about number 11 over there. You know, we probably thought about him this week more than we thought about our loved ones and, you know, and anybody else. Like, the offensive staff had him on our mind the entire game, had him on our mind the entire week, and that's what you got to do with good players around the league. Hats off to him. He made a good play there. And so it is about the transition from either the catch to the tuck or the mesh to the tuck or the two hands on the ball to the tuck. So I don't It just didn't get there yet, and that happens, and a good player made a good play on the other team.
I think it's a fair point by Nick. Like, it is. Look, Jalen's done a much better job of having two hands on to football. He absolutely has. And I think Nick is right. Like, we can say get two hands on the football, but it's not always as easy as that. And Jalen, you can tell, is trying to get the football in a better position. And Micah made a great play. So I don't really leave these two turnovers thinking Jalen is slipping back into bad habits. Now, let's see what he does against Washington, right? Like, Washington, two turnovers, give the Washington the ball at the 6-yard line. It's very hard to believe they don't walk away with a field goal. As good as the defense is playing, like, Washington is going to get into the 20s. I would be pretty surprised if Washington get in the 20s. It would be an outstanding performance by the defense to keep them under 20 points. So you're going to have to score points against Washington, and you're going to have to take care of the ball, because it's already going to be hard enough to stop Washington. You can't do it on short field. So I don't leave the Dallas game feeling like Jalen's slipping into bad habits. I still think outside those two turnovers, which I understand is a bit of, like, outside the two turnovers is dismissing them a little bit. I just didn't think they were worrisome turnovers. Like, earlier in the year, I thought they were, so I really dinged him for that. I gave Jalen a B for this game. I think that's fair considering two turnovers, but he made a lot of really good plays outside of that, and I thought he didn't put the ball in harm's way really other than that. So I think the offense, obviously, you see the talent, you saw that on display, but it's always going to come down to turnovers. And the two turnovers that he had, while not ideal, I didn't find them concerning turnovers. So that'll do it for today's Daily Pod for Go Birds. Hope you all enjoy your Monday. Man, what a fun week this is going to be. I can't wait to get to the link on Thursday night, and I can't wait to talk to you guys about it throughout the week, and then, of course, Go Birds Radio. So we'll be back with a Daily Pod, as we always are, every day this week. We'll have a pod with James between now and then. We're going to do all types of fun things. So enjoy your Monday. Keep that smile going. And as we always say to end the pod, he's Elliot, I'm James. I'll talk to you guys later.